At Kroger Pharmacy, CARE is making it easy to get vaccinated. CARE is helping you stay protected from flu, COVID, and RSV. Seasonal vaccines are available 7 days a week with evening hours. CARE is giving you a shot at staying healthy this season. Walk in whenever is best and get multiple vaccines in one visit at your local Kroger Pharmacy. So come and get the protection you need while protecting those around you. Kroger Health, a world of care, is in store. Visit Kroger.com/vaccines for more. Restrictions and exclusions apply. See site for details. When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices. Plus, extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. And up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Welcome back to Bronze Bears. All right, guys, we're hitting the home stretch here. The season's almost upon us. We are past the Hall of Fame game and the Hall of Fame ceremony, but there's just two episodes left that I wanted to share with you. This episode here, episode 6, is going to focus on who could be next. What Chicago Bears players, either, you know, guys that played maybe a couple years or guys that played their entire career or the majority of their career, who could potentially be the next Chicago Bear that gets the call to Canton? And I think that if you listen to episodes 4 and 5, you get the sense that there's not a lot of Chicago Bears names that are floating up to the top right now. And so it may be a while. It kind of makes sense if you think about it, though, because we had Brian Urlacher in 2018 go in, first ballot Hall of Famer. We just had Devin Hester go in. We had a couple senior candidates in Jimbo Covert and Ed Sprinkle, so going way back to the 50s in the 2020 class, which was like this big expanded class. And then you have Steve McMichael, of course, going in, and then Julius Peppers, which was, you know, a third of his peak career was in Chicago. So again, we've had kind of an incredible run as Chicago Bears fans of seeing some of the greatest players in team history finally get their call, or like Urlacher getting his call as a first ballot. So the Hall of Fame has been particularly good to the Bears. But now when you look and you say, like, is there going to be another guy that can maybe start rising up to the top? And I'm just not so sure, but I wanted to have this conversation with a few people to see what their thoughts were. And so the first conversation I'm going to share again is my conversation that I had with Bill and Lester. And if you listen to the first couple episodes, you heard their thoughts on the three guys that went in this year. And then we will shift over to the remaining piece of my conversation with Kirk Buckner and Paul Lawrence and Jack Silverstein. And then we hit out of here. And then for episode 7, as we close it up, I'm going to talk to Jack one last time about our shared experience at the Hall of Fame and just kind of get kind of a big picture perspective of what that means to, you know, longtime fans and historians, and just kind of get some perspective going there. So I hope you guys have enjoyed this series, and I'm looking forward to sharing this episode and the next episode with you. Thanks. All right, talking to Bill Zimmerman and Lester A. Wiltfong Jr. a little bit about who's next, or is there a next guy right now that has their career finished and is kind of waiting around for some Hall of Fame talk that played primarily for the Bears? You know, the guys in my mind that at least get talked about in this way: Olin Krutz, Charles Pina Tillman, Lance Briggs, Jay Hilgenberg. Obviously, Jay Hilgenberg would be a senior committee type conversation for that. And I also kind of just want to talk about maybe guys that are currently playing in the league. You know, Khalil Mack is somebody that we might want to talk about. Keenan Allen is now a Chicago Bear and has had a lot of success in this league. A lot of the other guys on the roster, I think, are just really young. But I just want to talk about the potential of some of those other names in Hall of Fame talk, because in my opinion, the Hall of Fame has done a very nice job of getting some of these Chicago Bears players in, starting with Urlacher as a first ballot Hall of Famer, the anniversary class that included Ed Sprinkle and Jimbo Covert, Steve McMichael going in this year with Devin Hester getting in as the first, you know, true specialist returner being put in. And so in terms of Chicago Bears lore, There's not a lot of other guys floating out there, but is there a guy, Bill, that you just like, I got a case and I really think it's going to work?
Well, I mean, the name that jumps off for me, and you mentioned it, is Jay Hilgenberg. And I know that, you know, looking back on things, you know, you put things in a favorable lens, right? You know, with the nostalgia and everything. And I'm sure Hilgenberg, because I know Bears fans get sick of the 85 Bears because they get discussed so much. I grew up on the 85 Bears. There will always be a soft spot for those Mike Ditka, you know, 84 to 88, kind of that range of teams. And Jay Hilgenberg was awesome. Like, he was an awesome football player. He was better than Olin Krutz. Like, and I don't say that. I think I say that with a pretty darn objective lens. And Olin Krutz is also fantastic. And I think Olin Krutz is a very strong case to become a Hall of Famer. But Hilgenberg to me is better. Like, to me, when I just think of Hall of Famers on the Bears from that era, I put Jay Hilgenberg in, like, just by default, go, wait, no, he's not in. But I mean, this is a guy that was on 7 or 8 Pro Bowls, 3 or 4 All Pros, I think 2 or 3 first team All Pros. He was one of the best centers in the league. And for some reason, he hasn't been looked at. That was a dominant offensive line. I mean, that was Walter Payton's amazing. But part of the reason Walter Payton was able to be amazing into his mid-30s was because when he started getting older, the offensive line he was behind was incredible. And the fact that Jim Covert is the only one represented in the Hall of Fame to me is bad. That's a bad job by the committee. So Hilgenberg is without question. Current, you know, recent or past Bears to me is the number one guy on my list that deserves to be in Canton.
Lester, same question.
You know, I like that. I'm an O-line guy, too. I like Hilgenberg. I think Krutz has a good case. But I got to go Peanut, man. I mean, if you look at Charles Tillman, his career, you know, and I watched all of it, obviously, he was, in my opinion, robbed of at least 2 Pro Bowls. You know, he only has 2 Pro Bowls late in his career. I don't think voters and the league kind of knew what to do with him. You know, he was the peanut punch. What the hell is a peanut punch? Okay, he's not getting interceptions as much as some other guys. He's not playing this type of shutdown man-to-man corner some other guys are playing. I think voters and I think the league in general didn't understand Charles Peanut Tillman's game. The zone-based defense at the time, they're like, oh, he's a product of the system. You know, the forced fumbles, the fumble recoveries, he was doing that kind of stuff. It's like, oh, that's nice, but, you know, it doesn't have the same oomph as an interception, you know, some of these voters are saying. So I've always thought Charles Tillman deserved in. I mean, you look at his career now in hindsight, you're like, he has the amount of forced fumbles as top Hall of Fame defensive ends have. You know, he was doing this kind of stuff out at corner. He's on an island. You know, he's timing that peanut punch up on guys running by him while he's making a sure tackle. Yeah, he missed a few tackles probably through the years, but, you know, he had that down to an art form. And now there isn't a game that you watch in the days, whether it's high school, whether it's college, whether it's the pros, where you see the peanut punch happening. The announcers talk about the peanut punch. He changed the game. So I think on the change the game thing, he should be in. But I think on his numbers, I think what he did as a Bear, I think he should be in as well.
Yeah. And let me just follow up on Tillman, because I was definitely, when I say a critic of Tillman, I was more of the heat for a while. I was in the, he shouldn't be in the Hall of Fame. He didn't quite have the career, but looking back on it, I've really changed my mind. I agree with Lester. I do think it is something that needs to be recognized. And the peanut punch, like, you can make an argument eventually that if Charles Tillman gets in as a defensive player, he could also get in as a contributor for contributing the peanut punch that is now coached across the league in terms of forcing fumbles. And I agree, Lester, that a lot of people said, well, you know, forcing fumbles and you know, fumble recoveries isn't the same as an interception. To me, that's kind of that Moneyball attitude where people weren't recognizing that walks, you were still getting on base and they were just looking at batting average, and Billy Bean and Paul DePodesta came in and goes, no, walks are as good as singles, and kind of changed the way you look at baseball. That's kind of the peanut punch to me, where you're sitting there going, no, if you recover a fumble, that's just as good as an interception. So don't detract from that because it's not as sexy, you know? So I think there was a lot of that with Tillman, that he was kind of first and doing something differently. And now it's kind of one of those things where you need to look back and recognize it. And the question is does he have a high enough profile that he's going to be recognized for it eventually? You know, he's not at that level, like, you know, and obviously Deion Sanders is a Hall of Famer, but I'm saying like that type of player that just has this huge profile that people are going to keep talking about. Tillman, if he gets in at this point, it may be because of his defensive play, but it will be because of the peanut punch, because that's what's going to keep him relevant.
Yeah, I think it's a great point. And, you know, Lester, obviously, you know, I wrote an entire week of stories on Charles Tillman. He is my favorite player. This was the one guy that I would get visibly upset when Pro Bowl rosters were announced and he wasn't getting recognized, because I just didn't understand it. Like, I just didn't understand why they weren't catching up. And my point is, and I think the same, Bill, you're making this point as well, as it and Lester as well. Voters didn't understand what they were seeing until he had the iconic year with that iconic game against the Titans, where he just sort of, everybody's like, whoa, what is this? And Bears fans are like, yeah, we've been trying to tell you this is what this guy does. But it took, you know, an iconic move that's named after him. It took an iconic game, which, you know, a lot of these Hall of Fame players have this, like, oh, that's the flu game for Peyton, or, you know, that's the, you know, there's these just different games that are kind of known as that's the game for that guy. Well, that's the peanut punch game against the Titans. He had that incredible year, and then now he's established. And so corner play, and I know you guys know this, when you're trying to evaluate different position groups on a football field, the secondary is incredibly difficult to evaluate. And so when voters, you know, that are trying to cover the league, they're trying to understand, you know, all the things that are happening, they're going to go right to interception numbers, because that's what they've always done. And like, hey, this guy led the league in interceptions. He gets my vote, right? Like it's an easy out. I'm not saying those guys aren't deserving. A lot of times those are really great cornerback years that need to be recognized as well. But that's kind of what was happening during Tillman's time, was there was that mode of thinking when that came to those postseason honors, where I think in reality, if you use, again, a modern lens to go back and look at what he was doing on the field at the time, you would have a much greater appreciation. And the Hall of Fame, much like we talked about during Steve McMichael, going back and looking at, hey, interior disrupting pass rush from the, you know, defensive tackle and three technique, that's actually a really big deal in the modern game. This guy was doing it in the 80s, and he's putting up sack numbers like Warren Sapp. Like, this guy should be in. We kind of missed this one. That's what a senior committee vote is. And so, you know, during that article series that I wrote, that's what I said. Like, I think he's a senior committee guy. I know that sucks to hear, because that he's not eligible for the senior committee for a long time. But this is going to be one of those where the senior committee looks at this and says, this thing's still around. This changed the entire game. This was the pioneer. And these numbers are incredibly impressive. And he was a really good player to begin with. And if only he had that iconic game, that iconic season earlier in his career, then I think expectations would have been a little different, and he may have stacked those All-Pro Hall of Fame honors. So to me, I personally make the case for Tillman, but I'm also on board with Bill's choice there as Hilgenberg as an Iowa Hawkeye as well. I mean, I can't deny that. So when I think about this Hall of Fame class, you have Steve McMichael going in. Maybe Jay Hilgenberg gets in eventually, but let's just say this may be closing the book on the 85 team, but certainly the 85 defense. This is almost certainly closing the book, unless somebody opens it up for Wilbur Marshall down the line or whatever. I think that that's important in a way, right? To kind of say, okay, like this era is pretty much been honored from the Hall of Fame, and we're going to kind of close that. You've got Hester going in. Part of that last Super Bowl run, obviously it was early in his career when that happened. I don't know if anybody else is going to get in from that time. Peppers, came a little after that, but we talked about, you know, are there going to be any current Bears or whatever that might get in eventually? I don't know. But this year really, to me, feels like a pivot year. The Bears are in the Hall of Fame game, of course, because they've got these Hall of Famers going in. They've got Caleb Williams, the first overall pick, almost certainly the most talented quarterback to join the Bears in at least 70 years, if not ever, right? And we want to go back to Johnny Lujack, Sid Luckman, all that kind of stuff. But at least since that time, you know, a number one overall pick, an incredible talent. You've got the momentum moving forward into this new era, this new direction. Does this feel like the start, the end of something old and the start of something new that's happening right now with this Hall of Fame class, Lester?
Yeah, I mean, close the book, right? I mean, that's kind of where we're at right now. And that's we're either closing the book or we're starting a new chapter for sure. You know, I'm like Bill, man, that 85 team, the 80s Bears, fantastic. You know, so, you know, you always hear about the Bears-Packers rivalry, right? Packers sucked when I was a kid. The Packers were awful. I mean, they always had tough games, but the Packers were garbage for like a decade. And the Bears kicked the crap out of them. It was a given. The Bears are going to always win. And the fact that the Packers were able to kind of catch up and kind of flip that, you know, it took them a long time to do that. You know, so this is it. This is the end of that 80s era, right? We're closing the book, and now here it is, Caleb Williams, Roma Dunze, you know. I think this could be something special. It has to be something special because I'm getting too old for it not to be.
You don't have a lot more resets in here.
You know, I don't have a lot more resets.
Do you see what I'm saying with this? Like, does it feel like we're going to look back on this in 10 years and be like, this was it. This was the moment where some chapters were closed, you know, celebrated and closed, and a new one opened.
Yeah, no, I completely agree with that. In fact, when I had Dan Weider on my podcast, it was early April. He talked about the 2024 offseason that someone, maybe it'll be him, but some Chicago media member 10 years from now is going to write a book about the 2024 offseason. The pivot from Justin Fields to Caleb Williams. Also, you know, now Weider didn't know at the time, but bringing in Roma Dunze, Keenan Allen, the new stadium, and the, you know, the progress they're starting to get there. I know it's not smooth, but it'll eventually get there. Kind of all this coming into what seems to be a new era of Chicago Bears football. And hopefully it's an era that makes sense and doesn't have us rip all our hair out. I don't have enough hair left to continue to do that. So I do kind of see that kind of thing where you have those peaks, right? 80s was a big peak. 90s was a big valley. Lovey kind of returned everything. They had a good 4 or 5 year run where they were a good football team, had a nice peak in the Super Bowl. You thought you might have gotten that in 2018. Like, I felt after that 2018 season, I really felt that the Bears were coming into that next era. I had confidence in Nagy. I had confidence in Pace. I thought Trubisky was good enough. I didn't think he was great, but I thought he was good enough with a great defense that this team was going to have a 4 or 5 year run of winning 9 to 12 football games and making the playoffs every year. Obviously, that didn't happen. But the big difference this year is that the Chicago Bears are a modern football team. They have a quarterback. They have the proper supports around the quarterback. They have never done that. As Bears fans, we know all the errors you can make in developing a quarterback because we have witnessed it over and over and over again. And now we can look at this and say they have a pretty good offensive line. They have not just weapons for him, but the right kind of weapons for him. They have a offensive coordinator that develops quarterbacks. Like, the only thing that gives me pause right now on starting this era is I am not 100% sold on Matt Eberflus. He can absolutely come into his own and prove me wrong this year. We'll see if some of his issues were that he didn't trust Justin Fields last year, which led to bad fourth quarter decisions. I'm not sure if that's accurate or not. I've been told that that's accurate. We will see. But if Matt Eberflus can, you know, shake, you know, give me confidence eventually that he knows what he's doing, I feel that the Chicago Bears are on the cusp of being a year in and year out quality football team, which is not something we have really seen since, I mean, I guess the Lovey era, but the Lovey era wasn't long enough for me, that stretch of quality football. We really haven't seen it since the 1980s.
So you're believing the Flus glow up?
The Flus glow up is a brilliant move because nobody's talking about the fact that like 80% of the fan base wanted him fired after the Packers game in January. Nobody wanted him to stay. And for those 2 days after the season, whoever's like, is he gone? Is he gone? And I remember I tweeted out, you're going to be unhappy, Bears fans, when I, you know, got the word that Flus was staying a couple hours before it was announced. And the fan base was furious. And then all of a sudden he shows up at his first press conference in February or March or whatever it was. Everyone's like, hey, look at Flus. He looks awesome. And we forgot about the questionable decisions he's made as a head coach for 4 months. So, hey, it worked for PR. It was a great PR move, the glow up.
Yeah. That $100 haircut was well worth it.
Yeah, I was on board too. I thought Flus should have been gone. I mean, we did polls at Windy City Gridiron, you know, every poll towards the end of the season, and then we did one right after the season. Overwhelmingly, fans thought Flus should be fired. Of course, with the whole situation where they're getting the number one overall pick, we all assumed it was they're going to move on and take Caleb. You can't put a number one overall pick with Flus. That was a big part of it as well. But, you know, to the Bears' credit, you know, they made, besides the obvious getting rid of the head coach, they cleaned out the entire offensive staff. And like Bill said, they have such a good support system in place for Caleb right now. I can't see it not working out.
When's the last time you heard these national pundits and national radio shows talk about the Bears offense in positive terms, right? Like all these rankings that come out, like the Bears have a top five wide receiving trio. The Bears have the best situation for a rookie quarterback that we can remember. The Bears have, and you're like, wait, are all these people talking about my favorite football team? Is the one that I've been experiencing for decades to be completely terrible on one side of the ball and good on the other? And so it does feel to me like this is a watershed moment. This is a big deal. And I think that part of that big deal is this Hall of Fame induction and the people going in, and also what's going to happen starting against the Texans on the football field with the first preseason game. This is changing. This is the new era of the Chicago Bears, and it's going to set up what the next 5-10 years is going to look like.
The Caleb Williams era has begun, and it will begin and end in Canton.
At Kroger Pharmacy, care is making it easy to get vaccinated. Care is helping you stay protected from flu, COVID, and RSV. Seasonal vaccines are available 7 days a week with evening hours. Care is giving you a shot at staying healthy this season. Walk in whenever is best and get multiple vaccines in one visit at your local Kroger Pharmacy. So come and get the protection you need while protecting those around you. Kroger Health, a world of care is in store. Visit Kroger.com/vaccines for more. Restrictions and exclusions apply. See site for details.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
At Kroger Pharmacy, care is making it easy to get vaccinated. Care is helping you stay protected from flu, COVID, and RSV. Seasonal vaccines are available 7 days a week with evening hours. Care is giving you a shot at staying healthy this season. Walk in whenever is best and get multiple vaccines in one visit at your local Kroger Pharmacy. So come and get the protection you need while protecting those around you. Kroger Health, a world of care is in store. Visit Kroger.com/vaccines for more. Restrictions and exclusions apply. See site for details.
All right, that was my conversation with Bill and Lester, and we're going to shift over into my conversation with Paul, Kirk, and Jack. All right, let me shift gears here a little bit. I want to talk about Chicago Bears that have finished their career that Bears fans talk about like he should be in the Hall of Fame. You just hear it. You know, there's a gut reaction. Like, I watched that guy play. He was amazing. He should be in the Hall of Fame. And then a guy like Jack or me, you kind of look at the numbers and you say, well, hold on a minute, I'm not so sure. And so Jack, let me start with you and kind of lay out these guys, and then I want to hear from Kirk and Paul, the kind of guys that aren't Bears fans that may not have that emotional connection to some of these guys, right? They may not have watched every snap as it happened, right? So Jack, the guys that come to mind to me are Olin Krutz, Charles Tillman, Lance Briggs, and Jay Hilgenberg. Those are the guys that are kind of not in that we still maybe have a little hope that there could be a case that kind of snowballs. who am I missing? And then maybe go through that and talk about why they should be at least considered for the Hall of Fame down the road.
I would say you're only missing, these are the big four. If I had to say two more, one would be Reuben Brown, who maybe is not on the list because he had only three seasons here. And so not even at that Peppers level, even though, of course, Reuben started a Super Bowl. But then injuries caught up to him. But his case is in Buffalo, where he was, an annual. He was a staple down in Honolulu. So he would be one. I would say Wilbur Marshall would be one. And that is something that is going to need Washington fans to hop in on, too. And if that happened, then you could start to see that. But Steve McMichael might have closed the door on the 85 Bears. And the only other person, and I think a lot of people have different opinions on seniors, and that's kind of a crapshoot. The only other person I would say that is like a really, high in the mix would be Clark Shaughnessy. In terms of these four players, you've got different problems. Jay Hilgenberg and Olin, they have the problem of the wrong position. The Hall is just not game for centers. If you count, I always look at like the last five players of a certain position, how far back you have to go to see how many were, the last five. You have to go back to 1987 for the last five modern era centers. If you count Bruce Matthews, you get to go a little bit shorter than that. But they just don't get in. So yeah, I thought Hilgenberg, that's one where you'll watch a guy and the people who don't follow the Hall, you'll tell them and they'll be like, hey, Hilgenberg is not in the Hall of Fame. Like Richmond Webb isn't in the Hall of Fame. And there's that. So I thought he should have been in, and that raises all sorts of questions. I think the big question for center right now will be who is the next center in. And that will start to tell you something about what shots some of these guys have. Lance is another one who I personally am like, I've been calling him future Hall of Famer Lance Briggs since late in 2004. And that, when does a person stop being future Hall of Famer, whomever? He's someone who, based on how voting trends are, I'm concerned he hasn't been a semifinalist yet. And it's like, on the one hand, you got like 14 years left, I think. And on the other hand, just the way that these voters seem to move on from someone, that is nervous. I would advise Bears fans, as I have, to talk about him, especially because his classmate, Charles Tillman, he's got this crazy case where the case is getting stronger every year in retirement. I don't know I've ever seen that. But the fact that his name gets mentioned on so many broadcasts at all levels of the sport, he's in, coaching meetings. They're coaching his move. The NFL put out a video of an officially sanctioned peanut punch video last year, was it? Maybe 2 years ago. So that's a really surprising one. And it's great to see. I mean, I think that we both thought, that he was a Pro Bowler long before he got that recognition. So we're sitting here going like, yeah, I'm glad they caught up. But I would just say, don't let that take away from figuring out how to talk about Lance and Olin and Hilgenberg.
Yeah, I think the interesting thing about Tillman, and I've made this case in print and in on podcasts many times, is that if you jumble the years, which I know you can't do, but if you take his first team all pro year and you put it in like the first quarter or third of his career, as opposed to kind of on the back nine, then he's established and he's going to get the recognition that he deserves year in, year out on those Pro Bowl teams and maybe more all pro votes, because he's established now as a really good corner. He was playing at that level. He just wasn't getting that respect at the time. And then when the years kind of stack up and you don't have those little asterisks on Pro Football Reference, it really hurts you in something like this. But Jack and I can talk about Hall of Fame cases for Charles Tillman for an hour. I'm sure we could do 60 minutes on that topic alone. But Kirk, when you look at those four names, what jumps out at you? Is there a guy that you think might have a chance, or are these guys like that's a Ring of Honor thing if you guys had one, but let's move on.
I think all four of them have a case. All four of them should be discussed at one point. Sadly, I think all four will not make that. To Jack's earlier point, I mean, so it'll be interesting to see who's going to be the next center in. I said this 2 years ago. I'm going to say this again. It's Jason Kelce. There's a lot of centers that you could talk about. Olin being one. Jeff Saturday is another name that comes to mind, but and Tom Nalen, our friends out in Denver, you know, we've certainly learned a lot more about him. Unfortunately, like Jack, like you said, wrong position.
What about Mangold, Kirk?
Nick Mangold's another one, but he's not in that. He never gets to that conversation either. I would love
not be in the semis yet, and that's insanity.
I don't want this prediction to be right. Just want to throw that out there. Just because I predict something, like I predict Florida is going to win the Stanley Cup, I do not want this. It's that's sort of the way I see it. But going back to Jack, sort of what you said and what you said, Jeff, there's not a whole lot of players where you have a move named after you and game film always sort of like dedicated to do it just like this guy did it. If there's one that should be sort of like focused on the most, it would be Peanut to me.
He changed the game. Like that is an argument that people make. He changed the game, right? Like he created a move that is now taught that, I mean, by definition, he has changed the way the corner can be played.
I think it would also help too, because you always hear Peanut Punch, and I wonder how many young people watching. Huh, that's an interesting name. Is it because the ball is shaped like a peanut?
What does that mean? Right? Yeah, absolutely.
Like
right.
If the announcers sort of always acknowledge where this came from, and then it just sort of like builds from there a little bit. I'm sure these are four people that they've thought about, but there's so many people that they're thinking about, and you know, like you mentioned, Mangold. I didn't even think of him, even though I've got him ranked fairly high on my list on centers. With centers, you've got to be super special and super, you know, Kelsey having a certain brother and possible sister-in-law, it doesn't hurt. And now going into media.
Well, but also winning a Super Bowl with their backup quarterback, where everyone's kind of going, Foles played great, but if you didn't have Kelsey in the middle to keep everything steady like that, and then playing in a Super Bowl where you're playing against your brother and then leading and then being on the, you know, in the middle of this, talk about a named play, the tush push.
Yes, the tush push. Thank you. That's where I was going. Paul, I want the same question to you as a non-Bears fan. You look at these names. Is there one that maybe makes a stronger case to you or any of these interesting to you relative to their position group moving forward?
So I think, you know, you group them all together and you're looking at a group that, and I hate to sort of harp on it, but again, if you look at just voting trends and how voters tend to look at these candidates, I mentioned it earlier. So two of the things that this group of 50 voters tend to really focus, right or wrong, the reality is this is what they're looking at. They're looking at all decade and multiple first team all pro. And I say they're looking at that. You got 25 semifinalists. You're only going to get 5 modern elected every year. Every year, there's always a handful of new guys that come on the ballot, some of them are first ballot, but others are guys who are like, yeah, this is a Hall of Famer. So every year, you know, the competition gets harder. That list of 25 semifinalists, it does change with the new names. It gets more harder. It's really tough to break into that spot. And as you know, as Jack will talk a lot about how important and key it is to watch how quickly and can a guy get on that semifinalist. If they get on it early enough, they're in that queue, they got 20 years, they're likely going to stay as a semifinalist, and they're going to have a good shot sooner or later to be voted. People may not always view this, but it is very difficult to get in the Pro Football Hall of Fame as a modern, and this is even harder as a senior candidate or coach or contributor. It's a high bar, a high threshold, and part of that, reaching that sort of stage, is just getting in the semifinalist. And when you have, and again, no fault to any of these Bears we're talking about, because I think they all have a case, but voters are looking for one little negative or one thing they don't see. And if it's a lack of all pro or all decade or lack of a ring or lack of consistency or some stats are missing, it's almost by omission. It's easier to set those guys aside, right? And then focus on these other guys. And that semifinalist is built every year, built every year, built every year. And then, you know, Jack and I and others have talked about, there's a big push at the end. Well, we need to get this guy on there to be at least thought about and get a chance. But time runs out and they just get forgotten. And 20 years, the committee doesn't stay the same. Every year there's movement on the committee. And we said it earlier, this committee only gets younger. And we actually have several voters who are in their 70s. And so we're going to see more turnover. And the reality is that maybe you may find it hard to believe that guys who played in the 80s, in some cases in the early 90s, will be soon forgotten. They're not, because as Kurt mentioned, there is film and we have stats and some analytics of some of these guys. But these voters are writers and they're journalists. Some of them are broadcasters. And they're going to reflect on who I saw play. And every year that goes by, we're losing that expertise on the voting panel. It makes it virtually impossible now to get guys from the 60s and 70s and even the 80s. And it's soon going to be a challenge, because every year, 10 years from now, 15 years from now, many of these guys will be still eligible. But can they even get to the semifinalists? Because more and more voters will move on to other players who they view as more qualified and players that they followed or wrote about or watched play the game. So I think they're all going to have some challenges, as Kurt's pointing out. Just to get in that discussion is going to be very, very difficult.
Yeah, I think I've long said I actually think that Charles Tillman's going to make a very interesting senior candidate at some point if we continue to have this trend and people look back and look at these numbers and say, what is this? These numbers are insane for a cornerback to have forced this many fumbles. And, you know, maybe some advanced statistics come back with coverage and they start looking at what he was doing and say, oh, you know, actually his coverage was pretty good relative to some of these top guys. And he had this turnover factor. You know, you mentioned the Hall of Fame all decade team. Obviously Olin is a second teamer on the all 2000s team. So he has that going for him, but you said two first team all pros. He only has one first team all pro, but again, overshadowed by, you know, his contemporary there, you know, Lance Briggs has seven Pro Bowls, but only one first team all pro. Maybe he was overshadowed a little bit by Urlacher in his career. Maybe Urlacher got the lion's share of the credit there. I kind of tend to agree with you that this is a long road for any of these guys. And, you know, we're looking, standing here in 2024, where you're getting three Chicago Bears in, and you have a couple that were in on that anniversary class that were, you know, senior candidates. It feels a little bit like there may be setting up for a dry spell here. And I was trying to think, who are the players that are still playing that have connections to the Bears that may have a chance at the Hall of Fame? So this is projecting way out because these guys are still playing. And Jack, I want you to start with you. I came up with two names. It's not great, man. and that's Khalil Mack and newly acquired Keenan Allen.
Well, I'll add Roquan.
You'll add Roquan. Okay. Pretty early in his career, but I think that makes sense there.
Absolutely. Yep. So he's now been excellent. He's now been all pro with two teams. He went to, it's interesting how the Bears have kind of been joined and in some ways lapped by the Ravens as like linebacker at least joined. And the fact that Roquan goes from being like the heir apparent to, you know, Buckus, Singletary, George, Urlacher, and then he goes to the place where now he's going to be the heir apparent to Ray Lewis and they're sitting watching tape together. As far as like narrative things go, that's really useful. As far as the all pros go, he's starting to rack them up. And if that team wins a Super Bowl, that's definitely going to be, again, stories and labels, they just get attached. The Ravens are thought of as a defensive franchise, and Roquan Smith will get a lot of attention on that basis. So he'd be the other one who I would put in there.
Kirk, I want to ask you about these two names, Khalil Mack and Keenan Allen. Again, Keenan Allen hasn't caught a catch for the Bears yet, right? That'll happen. You know, hopefully week one, he'll rack right up a few here. He's got some really great stats, but you're also playing in an era with some incredible wide receiver talent. You're starting to get a little bit more. I mean, he has a chance though to finish his career like third in catches.
He's gonna have to.
What's that?
He's gonna have to.
Yeah, right. So where's Keenan Allen's chances? What does he need to do to put himself in that position? And then same question for Mac.
For Keenan Allen, this is almost the same for any wide receiver who wasn't necessarily considered number one or number two in any year. And I think that's sort of safe to say that about Keenan Allen. And I'm a big fan of his. But it's compile, stay healthy, keep playing. We're going to talk about probably someone a little bit later, Frank Gore. I don't know that Frank Gore was ever a top five running back. Frank Gore could very well be a first ballot inductee just because he just kept playing long and long and long. Khalil Mack had a lot of great years in Chicago. I'm higher on him personally for his future shot.
Sure, sure. But, I mean, I am too. He's got some of those things that are a little bit more attractive on a Hall of Fame resume, right? Like yeah. He's got some signature plays and games, and he's got some pretty high sack totals in some of those years. He's got the defensive player of the
year. And he's got some hardware.
Yeah. Right. He's got some hardware, right? So he has some of those things that I think are going for him, or he's on a track that I think is pretty attractive to voters. I mean, he's moved around a lot, which he's had three teams already. I assume he'll probably play for a fourth team next year, assuming he doesn't keep playing in LA for the Chargers. Definitely wanted to say San Diego there, but I didn't. So that's
I saw it bubbling.
Yeah, you saw
it. I was doing the same thing.
Right. And so, but you can kind of see his career trajectory is kind of interesting because sometimes it matters who's making the case for you. Right. And you're playing for multiple franchises that can kind of hurt you. But, Paul, I'll ask you in terms of contemporaries, does Khalil Mack interest you in a Hall of Fame case based on what he's been able to compile?
Yeah, I think he's built a really good, strong resume. And I think going back to comment you just made, the same as for Keenan Allen. He's just going to have to continue to perform at a pretty high level. I mean, we can see a lot of players that be able to build a career, say, 3, 4, 5 years at the beginning. You mentioned earlier, if you start getting those accolades early, you build that resume, you build a reputation. It kind of cascades into something where a player goes from just having one or two all pros, 3, 4, 5, and in some cases, if you start young in your career, you're able to do that. So they both are on the track, but we have to be a little cautionary is that we certainly have a lot of history of players who fell off and either injury, inconsistency, or decline in performance and didn't sustain that long enough. And then they quickly sort of are thought as a player who's, I think we used the term earlier, right? The peak was early and it was short. And in these guys, they're just going to need to be able to perform at a level. And, I think Mack has a unique case, and I think because of some of the comments we made earlier about the challenges with the modern era wide receivers, his case is probably going to look a little bit stronger and have an opportunity that perhaps Allen won't, for the very reason that Kirk pointed out. The receivers in this era, as it's going, and the numbers that are being put up since the 2000s, and we've got several on the ballot and several more. He is really going to have to end up with a career top five in receptions, yardage, touchdowns to really get that level. We're going to start having guys who end up 10, 11, 12, 13, which years ago would be a ticket to the Hall of Fame, but aren't because all of their contemporaries are above them from the same era in the passing offenses of today's game. We see that already. I mean, look at Holt. I mean, he can't make any movement. He's got an impressive resume of 1,000-yard seasons and a ring. Maybe not seen as the best receiver any given year, but getting back to the comment about Frank Gore, compiled a lot of numbers, and yet voters are looking more carefully at his case, and he's in that logjam of wide receivers already on the ballot, and as is Reggie Wayne. So I think Allen has a tougher road because of the position and the need to have the stats and compile, which leads me to think that Mack probably has a little bit more of a, inside track to be considered.
Okay, that's it for episode 6 of Bronze Bears. Thank you all so much for listening to this series. I really, truly appreciate it and the nice feedback that I've received on this. We've got one more episode to go. I hope you enjoy that one. But until next time, right out.
Kroger Pharmacy, CARE is making it easy to get vaccinated. CARE is helping you stay protected from flu, COVID, and RSV. Seasonal vaccines are available 7 days a week with evening hours. Care is giving you a shot at staying healthy this season. Walk in whenever is best and get multiple vaccines in one visit at your local Kroger pharmacy. So come and get the protection you need while protecting those around you. Kroger Health, a world of care is in store. Visit Kroger.com/vaccines for more. Restrictions and exclusions apply. See site for details. When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices. Plus, extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. And up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.